sure appreciate that song. I think everybody that's been saved can say that there was a lighthouse at one point that they saw that guided them into what I like to call the haven of rest. Whenever that the Lord saved my soul, whenever that I went home that night from Sunday night work in a warehouse, a grocery store warehouse, you know, my parents had already gone to sleep. You know, my heart was just overflowing because of what God had done for my soul. I didn't understand it all, but I knew that I was saved. And I sat down at the piano and messing around with it and playing chopsticks and whatnot. But then God gave me a song, The Haven of Rest. And it never had really been much of a favorite of mine. But I remember that night, it was just like it flowed out of my fingers. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. And that's been my theme, and I guess among other themes, if you would, that I've carried with me, been with me. I'm so glad to be here today. I'm thankful for each and every home that's represented here today. It's been requested that I sing a song. And this speaks about a place. I want to tell you something. I know I'm going to heaven. You know, one of these days, there's going to be a call. I've always prayed, and I know I'm kind of scattered and everything, but my heart's filled today. I always have prayed to the Lord, please let me be standing on the earth whenever that you come back. I want to see those eastern skies break open. I want to see it roll back as a scroll. See the thousands of saints that Enoch wrote about, recorded in Jude. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. I would love to see that. But you know, whether I'm alive and I see it, or whether that I'm sleeping in the silent city of the dead, I'm so thankful that when he calls, I'll answer. And we'll all go home to be with the Lord, meet the Lord in the air. And you know, whenever that we get there, we'll just, goodness, we'll rejoice forever. Can you imagine? And you know, you may get there and you may think, well, what happened to Kofor? I'll be down at Jesus' feet thanking him for what he did. And the next million years, I'll just be bowed before him, thanking him for his great sacrifice and what he did on Calvary's cross. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Someone said you can't go back home again, and things will not ever be as good as they've been. I've got good news for you. When heaven comes in to view. One glimpse and we shall know the best is to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. That was kind of a last minute request, so we tried to do our best on it. But at any rate, thankful to be here, and as we look in to the pages of God's Word, we ask that you pray for us. Pray that God will have honor and glory out of us. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Him, or you have relatives today, friends, neighbors, whatever the case might be, I pray that you might go home and that you might pray for them. And if God leads you to go to talk to them, you know, don't shun that still small voice. Because I believe that the time is growing short. And I believe that even as it says in the Scriptures, the time is at hand. And we don't know if we'll have this meeting again. We don't know if we'll ever see another sunrise. We don't know if we'll even make it home this afternoon. And someone will say, well, preacher, you're trying to scare us. No. He said in one place, in a time when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I believe it's nearer than whenever that we ever thought about it to be. If you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you turn with us. Very familiar scripture to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we're looking at this scripture today as kind of like a beginning point as God, we pray, would lead us and direct us. But starting with the first verse, the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. When God called me to preach, this was the first book that He ever directed me toward. And the reason why is because whenever that God saved me, beyond the veil that I could not go beyond, the high priest came forth and applied His blood unto my heart and unto my soul. And I found so many different things in the book of Hebrews that related to that. In the first verse, in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find these words. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about that 11th chapter, about Moses, about Abraham, about Jephthah, about Noah. And we could go on down the line. They always call this the roll call of faith. And you know, I pray today that our names are added unto that someday. Maybe not so much in Scripture, but somehow in that place where that the Bible says there was a book of remembrance opened, and they that thought upon the Lord were added unto that book. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience that is the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And He's there today. And He's just waiting for that time whenever that the Father will turn to Him. And He'll say, go get My children, son. It's time for them to come home. Our thought will come from the beginning of that second verse where that it says, looking unto Jesus. And we would want to take that a little bit further. Looking unto Jesus. Looking to Jesus. And then we're looking for Jesus. Those three things today, I believe with all of my heart that we are involved in today. We looked unto Jesus whenever that we were lost. Somehow by the grace of God, the redeemed of God, somehow look beyond self. Look beyond whatever that it is that was standing in the way of them being saved. And I want you to know that it was a good thing that we did, because I want to tell you, nobody gets into heaven without Jesus. I don't care who they are. I don't care from what background that they come from. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And in one place it says he is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, I agree with that, but I like to think that he's the Alpha through the Omega. And every letter, every vocabulary speaks of him. The Bible says in one place, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. And we find today that he is the ultimate. In fact, the Bible tells us over one place in the prophecies. And you know, it's interesting, this prophecy, this writing, was what convicted one of the greatest preachers that ever stood and ever opened the pages of God's Word, a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. It said, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved. You can't look unto anything else. You can't look unto grandpa and grandma and all of that. I used to think, because that I grew up in the home that I grew up, that somehow God was going to make me special. But an old preacher that stood down with his bony finger in my face said, Paul, it doesn't make any difference how that you were raised. You're going to have to come the same way. You're going to have to come through the blood. You're going to have to come through that look unto me, all ye, the whole earth. Doesn't matter who you are today. You're to look unto me. That's salvation today. When you look upon him today through eyes of faith, seeking him today, looking to him today, I want you to know that he is Savior and he is Lord. In fact, whenever that Christ came into the world and he began to preach, he began to say, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. We don't hear that preached anymore. Repent. You got to repent. I'd like to know how many times that's in the Bible and how many times that's neglected to be preached sometimes. But he said, repent and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said. The good news, the fact that I'm going to pay the ultimate price for your sins. I am going to take upon myself. I am going to take all of your sins upon me. I will be the final sacrifice. Thank God. I don't think that I could wrangle a sheep and inspect it and then kill it and then spread its blood wherever. I don't think I was raised in a rural area, but I didn't do too well with farm animals. But I want you to know that Jesus took care of that. Jesus offered himself upon the cross of Calvary. And we find that the Bible tells us about the grace of God. We're saved by grace. We repent. We put our trust and faith in him. But today the Bible tells us that it is by grace that we are saved. God never owed us a thing. Did you know that? He was not obligated in any way. But love sent him to this low ground of sin and sorrow. And love, my friend, not the nails, but love for mankind, for their well-being, for their salvation, pinned him under the cross of Calvary. And I want you to know, my friend, you might think today
that his suffering was in vain. No, he had you on your mind whenever that he went to the cross. When he looked down through the ages of time and saw that someone like Paul Kofer was going to need a Savior, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he won the victory. And I want to tell you, the only way you'll win the victory is through him and in him today. Now, it's by grace that we're saved, and I want you to know that grace is what gets us through. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace and faith and repentance are two inseparable graces of God. They go together. Now, you can't repent without faith. You can't have faith without repentance. I don't know how that is, but I do know that for me it worked. My friend, I want you to know today, my friend, that your loved ones must repent. They must look unto him. They must look unto Jesus. You know, we find over in the book of Numbers in the 21st chapter, the children of Israel were smitten by fiery serpents. And I don't know what that was in the desert. In the desert, it could have been anything. Pit vipers, whatever. But these things invaded their camp, and they were bitten by them, and they were dying by the multitudes. And so God told Moses, he said, you take a brazen serpent, you put it up on a pole, and you tell those people that if they will look unto this serpent, that they'll be spared, that they'll be delivered, that they'll be healed. Brother, it's not any different today. We don't look at a brazen serpent, but John tells us over one place, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, I want you to know that he is the one that we look to. We look unto Jesus. You know what, if church, if we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ before a lost and dying world, it will draw people unto him. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There is something innate within man that needs God, and they can't explain it, but my friend, they're drawn unto Jesus. And so they must look. And so you looked unto Jesus in order to be saved. But it doesn't end there. Do you know that we walk by faith each and every day? Faith doesn't end at an altar of repentance. Faith doesn't end there. That's just the beginning. My friend, work to continually look to Jesus in our everyday life. And someone will say today, well, preacher, you know, I'm here in church and everything, but are you walking in faith out there? Are you walking in the faith that God gave unto you? I'm not pointing three or pointing at me. It's asking me. But are you looking to him each and every day? My friend, this world is going to get worse and worse and worse. Don't pray today for it to get better, because it's not. We're heading towards the end time. We're heading towards a time whenever that man's got a rendezvous in judgment with Almighty God. And the Bible says in one place that even nations will be judged. And my friend, what they did with the gospel. And at the great white throne judgment of God that it talks about in the book of the Revelation, my friend, I want you to understand today, the lost that stand there, not the saved, but the lost who stand there, are going to give an account unto God as the books are opened. And my friend, as the names are searched as a silent testimony unto them today, there is a question of what did you do with the gospel? What did you do with Jesus? My friend, the gospel will be preached into every corner of the earth before before that the end comes, as if nothing else, as a witness, so no one will stand before God and say, I didn't know anything about this. Because the Bible says, great is the company of them that spread the news. Great was the company of those that published the great news. My friend, the news has been published, and it's being published. And my friend, I want you to know, unto whom much is given, much is going to be required. And I don't count that so much for the saved alone. You know, sometimes we stand in the pulpit and we just waylay, you know, the church of the living God. And there's a time and a place for things. But I want you to understand something today. Yeah, I'm a cheerleader. I want to build you up, because dark days are ahead, and God is going to be depending on the only thing that He's got in this world to take the gospel unto a lost and dying world, and that's each and every one of you today that have been saved. You're the witness today. You're the witness of His resurrection. Oh, but I wasn't there when the stone was rolled back. No, but you were there whenever that the stony heart was made flesh. And God redeemed your soul. And you've got a testimony. And you might say, well, I can't stand like a preacher. Well, I hope you don't try to stand like this one. But you know, the effective messages that were preached in the days of the apostles were the messages like the Apostle Paul, whenever that he stood before Caesar and before the magistrates and before the governors. And he said, I was on the road. I was going to imprison them that were of that way. And I was going, he said, I was even there whenever that they stoned Stephen. I gave consent unto it. But he said, Christ Jesus appeared unto me. And that was what he taught. And my friend, even one of them had to declare, Oh, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian, to seek after this God. I hope and pray that they found him. I hope and pray that somewhere along the line in the annals of history that we may not know about, that people like Felix and Agrippa, and dare I say, Nero, he had his opportunity too, because Paul stood before him. And my friend, every one of them are going to have an opportunity. But at any rate, we're to look to Jesus today in our everyday walk. Did you know that? The Bible tells us over in the book of Habakkuk, said the just shall live by faith, the just shall walk by faith. We walk by faith. Do you know when we walk out of that door? That today, my friend, we're taking God at His word. Take care of me. Watch over me. Help me find my car keys. Whatever the case might be. My friend, we're looking unto Him. We're looking in faith. And I want to tell you, I don't know the time whenever that our time may come. You know, I beg God, let me stand upon the earth, Lord. But He may not see fit to do that. But I want to tell you something, until that calling comes to come home, when He calls for the Spirit to be free, I'm going to answer. And you're going to answer. And I'm not trying to scare people. That's what the Bible teaches today. And in the meantime, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's a hard thing to do. We're to look to Jesus. We're to keep our eyes and our mind upon Him day by day. And tell me today, tell me what on CNN is worth watching anymore? What on TV is worth watching anymore? To spend our... I'm not saying don't watch it. But oh my friend, sometimes the culture gets into us as children of God rather than us getting into the culture. Right. Amen? My friend, I want you to know that we're to walk by faith. My friend, we're to keep Jesus before us, looking unto Him. Do you know how that the children of Israel were able to go through the desert, go across the rivers, go across the Red Sea, to follow into Canaan land. Do you know how they did it? They looked unto the cloud that was before them. That's what they did. And I tried to measure one time. You know, you can't make, there's no way you can measure how high that cloud was. And you cannot measure God today. You can't measure what He does, how He does it. But you know, that cloud went far enough ahead of them that everybody could see it. And when it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And they set up camp, and they set up the tabernacle, and they did sacrifice unto Him. And then the cloud would move. They'd pack up. They'd go. My friend, I want to tell you something today. We're to look unto something more than a cloud. We're to look unto Jesus. We're to look to Jesus today for our existence. You can't depend upon man. You can't depend upon what he promises you'll do. You can't even depend upon the preacher, because I'll fail you in a moment. But if your eyes are upon him, and you're looking unto him, and you're depending upon him, and you're not looking to the right or to the left or behind you today, I want to tell you, your walk will be sweet with him. It'll be sweet. And then we look for Jesus. Lord, help us today that we'll preach this more and more, that he's coming back. Now, some people believe today that he's not, that we're just going to go on a cycle. You know, we're just going to, you know, what comes around, and it'll just be a cycle. But no, there is an end of time. There is a time whenever that God calls for it to be halted. And my friend, we're to look for Jesus at that time. Do you know today, my friend, I'm waiting for a trumpet. I'm waiting for a shout. I'm waiting for a cry that'll go from one end of this universe to the other. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Are you listening for it too? I hope you are. Because, my friend, that's the next, one of the next greatest things that will happen unto mankind. They will stand before Almighty God. And my friend, I want to tell you that we are living in a time where the signs of the times are pointing towards his coming sooner and more than ever before. We're to watch for him. You know, the Bible tells us that over in the book of Acts of the Apostles, whenever that Jesus had resurrected, and the scriptures say that he met with his disciples for about 40 days. And as he did, he began to instruct them. He began to tell them what they were to do and where they were to go once they were endued with power from on high. And the Bible says that when he finished giving them instructions, and they weren't counting on this, it says in the 10th verse of the first chapter of the book of Acts, it says, "And when he had spoken these things," it said, "he looked steadfastly," "when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, listen to what the angels told him was taking place and will take place. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." That's how he's going to come back. There'll be a remnant that'll be looking for him, that'll be looking towards the skies. The Bible tells us over in one place, it says, when you see all these things come to pass, that is the end time, he said, don't get discouraged. Or let's do this. Let's try another way. You know, let's just give up. Don't give up, folks. Don't give up. I don't care how bad it is. We got to stick together. We got to stick together as children of God. And I want to tell you something. I love you all today. You want to know why? Same blood flows through my veins and flows through yours. And you might say today, well, I checked my genealogy, Kofra. I don't think I'm related to you. I'm not talking about that kind of relation. I'm talking about something stronger. Yes. I'm talking about something that binds us by the strongest thing that there is in this world, and that's godly love. And it's the blood of Christ. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love you with all of my heart because you've been to the same fount. You've drank the same water. You've ate the same spiritual bread, the manna, the eternal manna that came down from heaven. But whenever that these things come to pass, don't get discouraged. Stick together. He said, look up. Lift up your head because your redemption is drawing nigh. And I want to tell you something today. We say, and you take this for what it's worth, we say today that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. And as an advocate, as a mediator, as an intercessor to us today, as a great high priest, he occupies that. But you know, whenever that Stephen saw him, what he was doing? He was standing. Think about that for a moment. Is he still standing? About to go? Just waiting for the Father to say, go do it. Go get him. Something to think about. Now that's just food for thought. But he was standing whenever that Stephen was stoned. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. But we're to look to Jesus. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that the flood came and took them all away. But we're to keep looking to Jesus. And my friend, the end time will come to a conclusion just like that. You know, we had an opportunity to see this replica, this art. It could only have been designed by God. That's what I believe today. Because the thing was so huge. And it was so massive. I stood up next to it, I couldn't believe. 800 feet long. But I want to tell you, God's salvation, that ark of safety is even bigger. It's big enough for everybody today. It's big enough for whomsoever will let him come. But he's coming back. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Now, there are going to be scoffers in the last days, and there already are. And I just love these guys that say, well, I'm not sure that that's what Jesus meant when he said this. And they'll say, and I'm not making fun of them. They're ever searching, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth of this gospel. But the Bible tells us in one place, it says, in the last days, there'll come scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation. And this they're willingly ignorant of. Listen, of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was being overflowed perished. God had already set judgment, is what those verses of Scripture mean. And whenever that God saw that man's iniquity and his heart was only evil continually, he said within himself and in the counsels of glory, he said, I'll destroy the man that I have created. And this was the means by which that he was going to wash the filth off the face of the earth. Must have been bad. But then Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this they're ignorantly willing of, but he says that these heavens and this earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's something that's been reserved. I don't know where, but it's reserved for judgment. And judgment is coming. And judgment is coming for those that fail to repent. Judgment is coming for those that are unsaved. But I want to tell you, there's mercy with God. And He's given us more days than perhaps we are deserved of. And while that we have the opportunity, my friend, let us work and let us labor, because the night season is coming whenever that no man can work. And I want you to know that one day this is all going to come to an end. There'll never be one more chance to come to the altar and seek after God and believe upon Him. There'll be no chance for an individual to hear the gospel and be pricked in their heart and know what they needed to do. They'll be probably like those people in Noah's day, whenever that they stood at the door of the ark and beat upon it and asked Noah to open it unto us. He could not open it because God had shut it. When the opportunity ends for mankind in this day and in this time, my friend, we can't open it back up. We can't open up church and say, come on in, sinner, come while you can, because Jesus will have stepped off of the mediatorial throne of grace. And He won't come as baby in a manger. He won't go to the cross again. He comes back as judge. He comes back as conqueror. And I want you to know, in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, it says that He will sit upon a great white throne. Don't mean to get so carried away. But I want to tell you something today, my friend. It's coming. It's coming. And what are we doing this time? We look unto Jesus. We keep preaching it. We take this message. We take these scriptures. We take the reality of what's coming. We don't lay it back in the corner of the church by the door. And, oh yeah, I remember he preached about that last week. We take it out with us. We ask God to give us an opportunity to pray for. We ask God to give us an opportunity, perhaps if He opens the door, to speak to people about their souls. Brother, if we had some way of knowing Jesus was coming back at 3:00, do you know what we'd be doing? We'd all scatter and be on street corners and be preaching and begging them to repent and begging them to look to the Lord, look unto Him and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. I am God and there is none beside me. But my friend, we're to do it now. We don't know the time. We don't know when it will occur. It will happen so quickly that people will not be able to think. He said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know how fast an eye twinkles, but you know what? It's probably just when that light hits it, just a millisecond. Brother, He's going to be here. And it'll be all over. It'll be all over. I leave this with you today. Whenever the Lord went down into Sodom and Gomorrah, God's judgment was coming upon them. It was Lot and his three daughters. That's all they could find. That's all that they could find. Do you know what the angels told Lot, his wife, and his daughters? Hast thou any others in this city? And I want to leave this. I love y'all, but you preach the gospel. You do. Your lives, how you conduct yourselves, what you say, what comes out of your mouth, that's evidence, fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hast thou any others? And you know, we're not told that any left, but just Lot. I don't know if it's that they had son-in-laws. I don't think they did. But it was just those five that left. And then the judgment of God came. And you know, they have done. And I'm not trying to stand here and tell you something to show how smart I am. I'm not. But I've been told, and I've read, and I've tried to find it, but I've been told that in that, they can't find Sodom and Gomorrah. They find some buildings. They find what once was that. But you know what else that they find? They find the remnants of fire and brimstone. They find the remnants of fire and brimstone. You know, I would today that we get a hold of God in prayer for this revival, and maybe even before this revival comes, that we get a hold of God in prayer. We keep praying. We keep looking to Jesus. We keep following His commands. I pray that we do. And you know, you'll have another day, perhaps, and you'll say, well, that preacher was wrong. What I told you was that nobody knows, but it is coming. As sure as what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment is coming upon this earth. And it may be tomorrow, it may be at 3 p.m., but it's coming. Watch and pray, for when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So today, God can still save. I'm thankful that He's given us moment by moment, day by day. And let's take advantage of it today. And while we have a song, while we have a hymn, I just love you all to death. I just appreciate you all. But you know what? Look to Jesus. And if He gives you a message to take to somebody, take it to them. And you will have done what God requires you to do. And then it's upon them what they're going to do with it. And pray that God will give them repentance and faith to be saved.